And the key thing is with the Google Forms, they're so easy to set up. If you've used SurveyMonkey before, Google Forms is even easier.
Pete, even I can use it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's really straightforward.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko.
James Schranko.
Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. And you've arrived into episode 2 from our productivity using Google series. I've got back my special guest, Peter Moriarty from itgenius.com. Welcome, Peter.
Hey, James. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So if you haven't heard our first episode, we talked about Google Apps for Work, and you should have that up and running by now. By this stage, you've got a professional email address for your business. You are enjoying some of the wonderful benefits of having an easy to search and well-organized email account. And you've also picked up a whole bunch of extra features. And in this episode, flexibility, we're talking about some of the cool stuff you get with your account that can further increase the productivity of your life and make business so much easier because you've got one solution that does so many things. So Pete, are you ready to dive into this?
I am super, super ready. I'm excited about this one.
Let's talk about calendar, because a schedule is something vitally important to entrepreneurs and team members. What sort of features are we getting with Google when it comes to the calendar? In my case, I was using iCal.
Yep.
And then one of the hugest innovations, I don't know if that's actually a word, one of the most important changes that I had in my business was to get onto a scheduling tool. And I used Schedule once.
Yeah.
And it talks to the Google Calendar. But I did find that I was able to have the Google Calendar talk to my iCal. So as long as I put things in my Google Calendar, it will actually push notifications to my phone. So it doesn't mean you can't use other tools, because a lot of them talk together.
Yeah. The real power of Google Calendar comes out when you start working with a team. You know, obviously, if you're on a Mac and you're a Mac person, you can use Apple Calendar, and using their iCloud service, it'll synchronize to your phone. And that's fantastic as a consumer product. But when you start to add other team members into the mix, it gets a little bit messy. Sometimes invitations get lost. You might get out of sync with your calendars and, you know, miss appointments, that kind of thing. If you've worked in a corporate environment before, you may be used to Microsoft Exchange and Outlook Calendar, allowing you to see what your team members are up to, what's on their calendar, you know, use it for scheduling. Maybe have a PA or a VA help manage your calendar. And so Google Calendar allows you to have a proper business calendar that works for teams with your business email addresses. And so some of the things you can do with that, if you've got an office, you know, maybe use it for scheduling out, you know, meetings in the boardroom. Or if you're, you know, catching up with colleagues in another business, send off invitations to them. You can attach documents to a meeting. You can schedule a video call as a part of a meeting with Google Hangouts. But the key thing is that if you're running a business and you've got a team right now and scheduling is important to you, further than just keeping everything in sync, being able to collaboratively work on each other's calendars is really important. So if you've got maybe you're booking flights and you want to flick over a flight to a team member, a virtual assistant, and say, hey, do you mind just putting these flights or this accommodation into my calendar for me? Being able to grant access to someone else to manage the events on your calendar can help you to save time as a business owner.
Right. And I like how it's still just one click away. There's that 9-box grid in our email account. And from there, we can very easily navigate to all of the suite of tools that we get with this. And I like how we can see team holidays. And that's important if you actually have a business team in another country, for example. They have different holidays in different countries.
Absolutely.
So you can see that in your calendar. I like how you can very easily just add appointments by hitting create. It's quite easy to use, and you can invite people and they can let you know if they're available or not, and they can modify the event if you let them. So there's a lot of features that you can have that are built into that, but it's quite easy to operate. You can even drag and drop too. You can just like highlight and type, and it's quite easy.
It's very easy to use. And remember, when we say team, you know, to the listener, if you're a solopreneur, by team we mean your contractors, your partners, the people you work with in the business. And, you know, another way of working with your team members, and this is something else we wanted to cover in this episode, is Google Drive. And you know, how do you – how do you store files and how do you share files with your team members? Because once you're on Google Apps, you've got, if you're paying for the standard plan, which is $5 a month, you get an allocation of 30 gigabytes of storage shared between Mail and Google Drive. And so you can use that to store and share your files. And it works quite a bit like Dropbox does, with a few key differences. You know, it's got some more powerful folder sharing, and it's also got, you know, a bit more integration with the rest of the Google system. So when I'm composing an email, I can, you know, pick a file straight from my Google Drive and, you know, pop in a shareable link to that one. But what Google Drive also lets me do is, just like Dropbox, I can install Google Drive on my Mac or on my PC, and I can have all of my offline files put into Google Drive. So my PDFs, my Word docs, you know, images, movies, whatever I've got, I can put them into Google Drive and have them safely synchronized across to all of my different devices. And James, you've started using Google Drive as well, because I know you're a big Dropbox fan, but you've made the switch. Why don't you tell us about that?
Not happy with Dropbox, Pete.
Oh.
I had a large team. We had over 60 people in the business, and we had a professional Dropbox subscription, and it's not cheap. It costs...
It's not cheap at all.
$6,500 a year.
Wow.
Thereabouts. And I renewed that in December, and then they only do it annually.
Mm.
I sold the SEO business and the website development business, and with that went a large portion of the team from my business. So I've now got a small team of 10 in the business. But Dropbox wouldn't give me any kind of credit or rebate for the unused portion. They don't care. It's like, well, you're paid up till next December. Too bad.
Mm.
So I feel like I've burnt about $4,000 with them.
Ouch.
I've heard people talking about Drive, and initially when Drive came out, it wasn't really effective for us to move across to that because we had a lot of data. I mean, we had a terabyte of data.
Yeah.
You can imagine the amount of content we're creating in an SEO business with videos and stock media. We had a huge image, music and video library. We had a lot of project jobs, etc. But what I found was that we don't really need that with a small team of 10 for publishing. So it's much more practical for us to consider moving. So there's a transfer cost, right? This legacy sunk cost of having used one platform was hard for us to overcome. But now I really dislike Dropbox because of that. And I started testing Drive, and it's become easier and easier to use. And you have an app on your phone. It has, again, one click away from my email, I can get into the Drive folder. And what I found was incredibly good was when I click on Drive, I find, again, it's super searchable, and I click on my Drive, and it's got all the folders listed there. And what I did was I actually created a folder that was really easy for me to put all my stuff into, and I've even replicated my desktop. So where I used to have a desktop, now I've got a folder that's called desktop.
Nice.
And in that is what I used to keep on my desktop, and I used to synchronize with Dropbox, but I don't need to do that anymore.
Nice.
And I did this simple maneuver. This is really the one power punch, right? This is the power move. I grabbed the URL from my browser, and I dragged it to my desktop.
Yep.
And then I renamed it Desktop Cloud. And all I need to do is click on that link, and it opens up my Google Drive desktop.
Perfect.
And there I am. I'm operating the cloud. So if I happen to lose my computer or something goes wrong, everything that I'm working on is right there sitting in my cloud desktop, virtual desktop. So I'm not using my computer memory or space. I'm not clogging up the cache. It seems to be running really fast and effectively. I don't know about you, Pete, but I used to run out of memory all the time on my computer. And especially with Dropbox, you had to selectively unsync files to make sure that you weren't going over the limit, because a lot of the shared things we had in our team would max out the measly little memory. So I was able to actually shrink back down to a Mac Air to run my business, because I don't need all that memory on my computer. In fact, when I look at my computer now, I've got 452 gigs free of 499. So
that's heaps.
I'm only using a fraction of my computer, and it's really just apps.
Well, you don't want to fill up a MacBook Air with all of your videos from the last 5 years, do you?
Oh, I do not. I really do not. So that's a great feature, this Drive thing. And the fact that they have separate apps on the phone, it's been really powerful. And, you know, the next one that I found really – and by the way, with the team, it's so easy to do what I used to do with Dropbox. When I record a podcast like this one, straight after we finish, I would actually go and click on my podcast shortcut link in my browser, and it's called Needs Editing.
Yeah.
And all I do is I just go and create new folder, and I'll name it exactly the same as this episode. I'll actually name it Productivity Using Google Part 2 Flexibility. And that is what will appear on my website. So I'll actually name that folder, and I'll drag in the audio from this call into that. And my team are copied into that. And that means they can access the media as soon as it's loaded into my cloud Drive folder. And it shows me the progress bar. I can see when it's uploaded. And then I can remove all the media from my computer because I know that it's there and it's easy to access and it's shared. And you know, anyone can work on these things. In fact, have you got anything more on Drive, or should we switch to the sheets and the docs?
Well, I just wanted to make one important distinction before we move on, and that is that if you want to use Drive like Dropbox, you still can. So some listeners may have, you know, day-to-day work that you need to get done, and for myself, I've got one or two folders that I do like to have synchronized down to my desktop, stuff that I can work offline on if I need to, and also, you know, maybe things that I just want to easily have access to, like, you know, bank statements and tax reports and that kind of thing. So I choose to synchronize those down to my desktop. So if you're uploading media, sure, go ahead and upload it straight to the web interface. But if you've got stuff you need to work on your machine, then you know, you can still synchronize it down to your machine. And, you know, we put a lot of businesses onto Google Apps. We did about 120 in the last 12 months. So that's a lot of businesses that we move. And we get the same question from all businesses is, well, if I'm using Dropbox, Why do I need to switch to Google Drive? Why would I bother? And, you know, we talked about a few of the advantages of using Google Drive, but if you're already using Dropbox, you might be saying, well, I can do all these things with Dropbox. Why should I switch? And our answer to that is, if you're on the Google Apps platform, you're using Gmail, you're using Google Calendar, you might be using Google Hangouts, but you've got Google Drive just sitting there. It might be dormant right now. If it does everything that Dropbox does, well, why not use it? Because the integration's better. You know, when you open up an attachment in your Gmail on an email that's come in, you can save it straight to your Drive. When you're sending an email from your Gmail, you can, you know, quickly drop in a document from Google Drive. That makes it easy for everything to kind of work a little bit easier in harmony. And it's also one less login for each of your team members to remember. If you've got 10 or 15 or even two team members, wherever they are in the world, rather than you either emailing documents back and forward or them having to manage two different accounts, one Dropbox account and one Gmail account, just to be an employee in your business, well, if they've got the one login, it means that they've got one place to go to get access to all of their business tools. And when they move on from the business, well, you don't have to try and find every folder that you've shared with that person manually to their Gmail account in Dropbox. You can just go to your admin panel in Google Apps and say, okay, this person, I'm going to reset their password and suspend their account. So as you grow and as you scale the business, you want to try and keep things simple in terms of your level of IT management that you need to do. And having it integrated with the rest of the Google Apps ecosystem keeps it nice and easy for you to manage.
Such a key point. When I had my team move across to a new employer, I was able to just to say, hey, everything of this person's just put it into my Drive account.
Perfect.
You know, I've ended up with 66.5 gigabytes, but with the simple search feature, I can find anything that we used to have in the whole business.
Perfect.
And that's really important. So having that Google account, which you control and you can allocate usernames, it really lets you do a lot of things. Like automatically your documents are just within the business unless you decide to share them externally. I love that feature.
Yeah.
And we've used some of the other features particularly well. Now, I'm not a fan of all-in-one solutions because generally they're flawed in many of them, or they don't do anything well.
Yeah, they do 80% of everything, right?
But I've got to say, you know, Gmail's definitely hands down the best email system.
Yeah.
I've found Drive to be equally as usable as Dropbox for what we do. love the docs. I just love the docs and the sheets. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Let's talk about it. I want to start with a little bit of a story, and that's that if you think about, you know, in either your business or in a business that you've worked in before, you know, being in a more corporate environment, how collaboration is usually done. You know, if you sit down for a meeting with a couple of colleagues, what typically happens in that meeting, you know, 3-4 people sit down in a meeting room and everyone's taking their own version of notes. Or maybe if you want to get work done with someone and they're outside your business, you would work on a document and you'd either drop it in Dropbox and wait for it to synchronize across to that person, or you'd email that document across to them. But it doesn't really allow you to get work done in real time. And Google really changes the game with that. Google Docs and Google Sheets. There's also Google Slides, which is their PowerPoint ripoff. These online live documents allow you to get work done in real time yourself, but also with your colleagues collaboratively. And so two people can have one document open at exactly the same time and get work done together. We are doing that right now.
Well, we're doing that right now. During this call, we talked about the idea of having a podcast. In the interest of having a good podcast, we decided it'd be a very good idea to prepare in advance. We put down some bullet points and notes. And as we're doing this call, we both have the same document open, but we're not in the same location. I can see where you're clicking around the document, and you can see where I'm clicking around. So we can actually highlight things in the sheet, and we can see that that's sort of an idea where we want to go. And even as the call goes, we can delete points and refine it and keep it nice and tight. So having that level of collaboration is extremely important when you're not in the same office, which is certainly my case and a lot of my clients' case. They have a team that's distributed all around the world, and it's nice to see other people, you know, collaborating and working together without having to, you know, be sitting at the same desk and sharing the same piece of paper.
The tools really change the way that you do work. And, you know, if you can imagine sitting in a meeting room and four people open their laptops and open the same document, and so there's one set of notes for that meeting. But, you know, when you're using this document, do those four people have to be in the same room? Well, no, they don't. They might be four people on a conference call, or they might be, you know, four people not even talking to each other, maybe just making notes together in one document. And we use this very specifically for one function of our business, and that's our implementation of OTR, or Own the Race Course. And so when we publish our media and our content on our website, podcasts, videos, you know, certain media that goes out to social media as well, we use one big spreadsheet, which is called our content tracker, and that tracks everything that we're doing. So each piece of content has a new row on the spreadsheet, and we list down, okay, well, which platforms is this going to be syndicated to, and where's the blog link, and if there's an email EDM that's going to, you know, send this out in a broadcast to our database, or where's the link to the email script that we're going to put in there. And that one document allows myself in Sydney managing the business, my media team who are in the Philippines, you know, making all the administration happen, my copywriter who's in Canada, and our video editor, who's in the United States, all get work done together. But the key thing is that we don't have conference calls. We don't have emails back and forward. You know, we don't need to do silly work in progress meetings or anything like that, because we've got one spreadsheet that tracks exactly where everything's up to. And that's our productivity system for getting things done. So for those that are working with remote teams, you've probably already started using these documents, or maybe you're using another productivity tool like, you know, Asana or teamwork.com or Podio or something like that for task management. But if you're not yet using Google Docs, or if you're trying to get work done and, you know, in a Microsoft Office document and dropping it into Dropbox and waiting for it to synchronize, and maybe every now and again you get a conflicted copy because two people tried to work on it at the same time, well, Google Apps and Google Docs is the next step up from that. It allows you to truly get work done together without being shackled to a particular location where the other person is.
You'd be crazy trying to use Word Docs. For example, in our business, I've asked them, please don't ever send me a Word Doc. I don't have Word on my computer. I don't use it. So again, the traditional default setting for most people is they're going to have a Windows computer and they're going to use Word.
Yeah.
We just use Docs. So I'd say, please put it in Google and share it with me.
Yeah.
That's the SOP, the standard operating procedure, and it works so well.
And even for someone who's outside your business as well, James, you know, us, we're not in the same business, but we're able to get work done together. And you don't have to have a Google Apps address for me to share this document with you. You know, you can generate a sharing link with a Google Doc and you can share it with someone who doesn't have a Google account. So if you wanted to get work done with a supplier or with a contractor or with a, you know, partner or a client, you know, for example, some of our customers use a Google spreadsheet to have a project plan, and that project plan is dynamic as the project progresses. And so they share a Google sheet with their customers, and the customer can make updates and submit issues, and you know, they can both have a real-time update of the project timeline and how things are going. And then, for example, another one of our customers in the financial services space, they actually put together their recommendations for, you know, their advice that they give with their financial products, and they send that as a document or as a proposal to their customers, and they allow their customers to comment on the document. So they tick a little box and it says, share this document, don't allow anyone to change the text, but allow them to add comments. And so their customers and their prospects they're working with can add comments to the document, and there's that real collaboration back and forward, rather than the kind of old school way of doing things of authoring a document, attaching it to an email, sending it along, waiting for it to come back. It's a very linear way of working, but, you know, it takes time. It's a bit inefficient.
Yeah, it's a terrible way to do it. And what we found when I was working with the team, I used to visit them and still do every 3 to 6 months. We've been to the Philippines quite a lot. And we were using project management tools for our website development business and our SEO team. And you listed a few of them, and there's heaps more, like Trello, etc. And we were using this, I think it was Basecamp at the time. And when I sat down beside them, I saw somebody flip from one screen to the other, and I saw them flip from a Gmail spreadsheet that they'd had in their own personal Google account and move data across to our Basecamp. And I said, hey, hang on a minute. What are you doing? And they said, oh, we're just updating Basecamp, boss. And I said, what do you mean updating it? And it turned out they were using Google and sharing it with each other as the actual system to run the business, and they were updating Basecamp. And I said, why are you updating Basecamp? And they just said, well, it's for you. And I said, well, don't worry about me. I'm worried about you. Use whatever you want. That is when we switched to Google for running our SEO business. So we were able to very clearly have tabs, and you can use things like highlighters to show what's been done. You can have a simple Kanban system, which if you've never heard of that, it's to do, doing, and done. So you'd have three columns, and you can move things across from one column to the other. Or you could use a highlighter system. Like to do might be green, and doing might be yellow, and done might be grayed out. So you've got stuff that needs to get staged up and running. Yellow is in progress, and then gray is done. So it's a very simple visual way to see that, and you can run it all in a spreadsheet. But there's so much more you can do with a spreadsheet. And just also to cover off, if you happen to be working with people who do have Word or Excel, or you need to export to that, you can actually import things and export things. It's really quite flexible as a system if you need to. So just wanted to mention that as a little side note here. If you do get stuck with a different format, it seems infinitely configurable.
The biggest criticisms of Google Docs is, well, hey, number one, they're different. They're different to Microsoft Office. I don't have all the same bells and whistles and buttons that I'm used to. And our response to that is that Google have a far, far, far superior ability to actually collaborate with your team members. And you should definitely be using a document when you need to share it and have multiple people work on it at the same time. But if you've got a Excel spreadsheet that a, you know, outsourced CFO has given you, and it's got some fancy macros in there, and you absolutely need to use Excel for that, well, go ahead, keep using that document, and, you know, maybe just save it in your Google Drive. As long as you don't need to share it with anyone,
yeah,
you're going to be okay.
And you can make these awesome calculators and templates that you can use with it. I've built this sheet, actually. It's called Wealthification, and it allows me to plug in inputs when I'm doing a coaching with someone who has quite a few business divisions, and I can start measuring and scoring things and have it actually end up calculating a simple idea of where we should be focusing based on effective hourly rates, the passion interest, the leverage of the business, the competitiveness of the market, and, you know, how much volume is going and where the volume could come. We plug in all these things, and then it calculates. So it's still got quite good calculation features, and it has wonderful graphs and reporting. So I've been using Forms, which is that front end to a spreadsheet. So I can put a survey up that I might have in the past used SurveyMonkey. I used to have a subscription to that. Don't need it with Google now. Can create a beautiful form, have upload my custom image, set the background theme, choose all different types of answers, and then it'll make me these incredible pie graphs and charts based on the outputs, and I can see all the responses, and I can send it out via email. I can host the website on, I can embed it, or I can just send people straight to the link. So it's super powerful. And one of the greatest little forms we did was just for the team, and it was just, hey, what did you do today? And they just go to that and they just type in what they did and hit submit, and it was populating this enormous spreadsheet. So we actually could work out our payroll. If they put in what they did for the day, we knew they worked that day, so that counted as a work day. And of course, the manager can see at one glance what the team's done. So it was such a simple system. And I've been using Forms a lot lately for doing Ryan Levesque's ask method, been surveying my audience and then calculating and scoring. And I can use all the same formulas that I've seen him use on Excel in that Google Doc. I can calculate the length of responses. I can concatenate responses and score them and extrapolate them and all these really cool things to work out what my audience is interested in by the hyper-responsive results. And I can take that information and now I can easily share it with the team or the copywriter or a webmaster so they can incorporate that data directly into my business without having to export or use any foreign external tools, because it's all in this one system.
That's very cool. It's important to add in there, to get a tiny bit technical for a second, but you can get this data in or out of the spreadsheets and into other cloud apps as well. So Google Forms is kind of part of, you know, the Google Drive family and the Google Docs family. And, you know, what you're referring to there, James, in case the listener didn't pick it up, was when you input data into a Google form and, you know, all the responses effectively get put into a Google spreadsheet. So then you've got this live updating spreadsheet as the form responses come through. Once that data is in the spreadsheet, you can do lots of things. You can create a pivot table, you know, you can start doing funky formulas and all those kind of things. But what you can also do is, if you want to get to kind of expert level, is you can maybe even push that data back to your marketing database or push that data to your website. And the way you do that is you use a cloud connector tool like Zapier. So that's Zapier.com. And what Zapier does is it connects different cloud tools. So you can point Zapier at your spreadsheet and say, right, I want to take someone's first name or last name and, you know, maybe their email address, you know, whatever you've asked for on your form. And as soon as someone completes this form, I want to automatically add them to Entreport or Infusionsoft or ActiveCampaign, and maybe even, you know, assign a certain tag or add them to a particular sequence. But Zapier is that tool that lets that happen.
So you can have a form that people fill out and then it's pushing it into another program somewhere else.
Absolutely. And the key thing is with the Google Forms, they're so easy to set up. If you've used SurveyMonkey before, Google Forms is even easier.
Pete, even I can use it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really straightforward.
And you pay your $5 a month entry fee for Google Apps, and you can make as many forms as you want, because you're not limited. Google don't even count Google Documents in the in your quota for Google Drive, you know, so you can literally be unlimited with that. But you can also go the other way. So we happen to use Infusionsoft, and each time a sale happens for a Google Apps implementation, because that's our core business, we have a new row added to a spreadsheet, which is our projects tracker. And that projects tracker has every single implementation that we do for customers. So, you know, it might be one employee, it might be 100 employees, you know, who's the key person of contact on the business, what mail system are they coming from? Are they coming from Microsoft Exchange? Are they coming from MacMail? Are they coming from cPanel email? Who's the project manager? You know, we put that there on the spreadsheet. And then as the project progresses, different milestones actually have the dates added when we reach certain milestones in that project. And then at the end of the project, you know, we send a survey, we ask for some feedback, and we get the score from the customer. So how well did we do on implementing Google Apps for that particular business? But all of that data, we're able to do deep data analysis on. We've now got hundreds and hundreds of projects in this one spreadsheet, and we've been able to do some pretty funky pivot tables and pull out really interesting insights from that data. But it also helps us manage by exception as well. You can set up a kind of dashboard and say, okay, well, with a filtered view in Google Sheets, I can say, well, show me all projects that are yet to go live. So show me all projects that have been started but are not yet finished, or show me all projects that have passed their due date and are running behind. And these kind of views help you to separate, you know, masses and masses of data from what's actually important to look at and what's actually important to manage.
Terrific.
And to be clear, that's using Zapier. So the Zapier connector, when a sale's made in Infusionsoft, all the information from the sale is automatically added to a new row in the spreadsheet, just automatically.
And I like that there's this little icon on my phone called Sheets, and I can click on that and I can access any of these forms or sheets straight from my phone, which has been such a huge change. I don't think it was as easy as that before, but it's certainly easier now. Yeah. You can do the same with Drive and documents as well.
They've really picked up the mobile apps. And, you know, I've got an example of, I was in a taxi on the way to the airport, and one of the team, they called me and they said, "Oh, hey, Pete, look, you know, we're about to send this proposal to this customer, but, you know, just want you to kind of look over it and, you know, give us a few tips." And I thought, oh, you know, I don't want to have to pull out my laptop, and, you know, it's hidden away in my bag. I think it was probably in the boot at the time, but I had my iPad with me. And so I was able to whip out the iPad, jump into the document, make a few edits, make some updates. And, you know, I could see my team members were in on the document as well at the same time. But those edits happened in real time. And then I was able to let the team know, hey, yep, this is done. So having the flexibility of working across devices, you know, and locations as well, that's the real power of Google Docs.
Right. And just two more things. One is, my goal was to be able to operate my business from my mobile phone. So Google has really allowed that, certainly from the mail perspective, which is one of the key ways that I was running the business prior to using Slack. And I don't know if Google has a Slack competitor or replacement yet. However, that has been a great communication tool. But we still link to our Docs. And by having that Sheets and Drive and Docs icon on my phone, I'm now able, and the calendar actually, I'm able to just, you know, access it, push one little button on my phone, and I'm right there. So that's one thing. The second thing is, when it came time to sell the business, one of the biggest things that is important to a buyer is they want to know all of your standard operating procedures. Some people call this their playbook. Other people would call it procedure manuals. But what we did is we had a central assets register, and that is one doc called Assets Register. And it simply linked to every document that we needed to run the business, from payroll through to the workflow for each role within the business. And that one document is a valuable document, and you can have it right there sitting in the cloud, protected to your account with the right people connected to it. And this actually replaced us needing to set up some kind of external wiki. Now, I know you can do this with Google Sites, and some companies do it like that. So you can take it to whatever level you need to do, but that would be included within the tool suite. So whatever way you want to do it, the tools are there to do it in this one account.
One of the things that we use Google Sheets for, on a very similar vein there, is we have what we call support matrices. And those support matrices is a spreadsheet for each different area of the business. So we have one for sales, we have one for finance, and we have one for our support and projects implementation and our service team. And those are effectively our cheat sheet for managing the help desk and helping respond to customer queries, because we might deal with 30 to 50 inquiries per day from customers, and we've got a decent sized support team, and they need to have structure and consistency in how they're responding to our customers. So what the support matrix has is it starts with a problem. And those problems are customer problems. So, for example, with finance, a customer might have a problem of they need to update their credit card, or they might have a problem of I'm having trouble logging in to pay my bill. Can you help me reset my password to the account system? And then in the next column across, it says, what are some of the things the customer might say to describe this problem? They might not know they have that problem, but here's the kind of things they might say, you know, describing the symptoms of having that problem. And so that's the second column in there. They've got, all right, well, you know, what are the things they might say? And then third is, well, what's your action? What's your response? So that's where we put our macro, or our scripted response, which goes back to the customer that says, hello, Mr. Customer, you seem to be having a problem with X. Here's what we can suggest to fix that problem. And then if there's a particular product or an action that we need to take, a product that we need to recommend or an action that we need to take, that's in the next column. And that, you know, might be to offer them, you know, not in the finance, but, you know, if it's a problem to do with technology, technology. It might be offer them training or offer them a product to fix it or offer them, you know, a consult session or something like that. And then in the last column is a link to the process. So a link to the process in, you know, in how to implement that solution or, you know, or help someone sell that product to get that in the hands of the customer. And so that those support matrices are super, super important for our support team and, you know, and a really great way of having some structure behind how our support desk and support system runs.
Great. And I remember you showed this to me once and it was simply as sharing it with me and saying, am I missing anything? And I was able to yeah. access it and update it and comment on it. And, you know, I like that ability where actually you can comment on things, documents. You can have little call outs where you can highlight things and have people ask a question in that side column. So that's a really cool feature as well. So Pete, let's hang it up here on this episode where we've been talking about the flexibility of Google. And we talked about some of the tools other than the Gmail, which we covered in episode one. We've gone much deeper here into Calendar and Drive and Docs and Sheets and Forms. And you also mentioned Hangouts that you can have with your teams, which comes within that tool set. In our next episode, we're going to be covering productivity. And just remember, if you would like help setting all of this up, if you've got a big company or you have a lot of different tools and systems and you're not sure about this tech stuff, head over to Pete's site at itgenius.com and his team will be happy to help you out. Thanks, Pete.
James, thank you so much for having me again.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.